Blog Talk Radio.
My soul is lost, so lonely and so cold, just like a lamb led astray from the fold.
Malady, and everyone has been affected by it at some time or another. But it relates so strongly to self, and Jesus is here to repair and to mend all broken hearts. The word broken itself means to be crushed or shattered, broken to shivers beyond repair, except to God. Isn't it interesting? God never told us we got to fix our problems. He is the one who has come to do that. And heart is the same word, whether you mean your physical heart or you mean, or it means your gut, your inner being, your the real you, the inner being, the center of our lives. A heart identifies, you know, that which motivates us. It's what makes us tick. And nowhere does God say, you got to fix it. And yet I think we spend a lot of time trying to fix what cannot be fixed. I believe this is certainly what William Sleeper had in mind when he wrote the hymn published in 1887. We're going to sing it here before we take communion this morning. The first verse says, out of my bondage, sorrow and night, Jesus, I come. Jesus, I come. Into thy freedom, gladness and light, Jesus, I come. Out of my sickness, into your health. Out of my want and into your well. Out of my sin and into yourself. Jesus, I come to thee. See, it's not to try to fix it by yourself. but run to Jesus. Run to Jesus. And Jesus is here. He comes to call us out of our brokenness into his wholeness. So, what is it that creates broken hearts? I started looking, there's a list this long. So here's just a few. Disobedience. Disobedience. Instead of obedience will bring about a broken heart. It is knowing what to do and not doing it, or knowing what not to do and doing it anyway. Which is, I think, very common in our day of alternate lifestyles. We say, I know, but. That's a big word, isn't it? But. You know, it ought to be a word this long, the way we use it. And then the biggest part of it is the justification for doing what we know we should not. Or justifying why we didn't do what I know I should have done. Disobedience will bring about a brokenness of heart. Another word I've discovered that as it talked about brokenheartedness was disappointment. Disappointment. There are what we commonly call disappointments in lives, but if we have our focus on Jesus, then we understand that every disappointment is God's appointment for maturing, for building up ourselves. And so then the disappointment becomes an appointment for the maturing of the saints of God. In both the Old and New Testaments, we are told this scripture, whoever believes in me shall not be disappointed. Shall not be disappointed. And see, looking at all this doesn't say everything is going to be just rosy. But it's about how you handle those things that are less than rosy. And have you also noticed that the testimony of the scriptures is when things go so well, people begin to lose sight of God because they're trusting now our ability or how we are handling things. Distress is another word. Distress. And today we call it stress. But what is stress? I heard a child, he couldn't have been 8 or 9 years old, and said, oh, I've got so much homework, I'm so stressed. That's not stress. Distress is what's keeping you from enjoying the rest of God. The Bible says there is a rest for the people of God. And it says that our hearts are humbled and broken when we don't enter into that rest. And in fact, the Bible says we ought to be afraid lest there be a promise of entering into his rest. And we miss it. I found this definition. Stress happens when we are engaged in that which God has not asked of us. Stress happens when we get engaged in that which God has not required of us. So distress. And then disease. Now, I'm not talking about sickness. Sickness could fit into all of these, couldn't it? You know, sickness could create disappointment. Say, oh, but we're not taking then the opportunity of God's healing virtues. You know what I'm trying to say here is that all of these things that we consider our problems have become problems because we allowed them to become problems. Well, disease means being robbed of the peace of God. Being robbed of the peace of God. I guess you would write it with a hyphen, D-I-S hyphen, ease. Being robbed of the peace of God. God tells us that the way of life is to let the peace of God rule in your hearts to which you've been called in one body and be thankful. Have you discovered it's hard to gripe and whine if you're being thankful? So God is saying this is the answer to the brokenness of heart, is to enjoy the peace of God, to let the peace of God be what rules in our heart. You have a decision to make? Are you nervous about it? Pray about it until the peace of God floods you to do this or to do that. And it might not come overnight. It might not come for days, maybe even weeks or months. But you hold it before God until the peace of God rules and floods. And the word rule, when it says let the peace of God rule, that's a sports term. It means like being the umpire or the referee. You let the peace of God be the referee in your heart. You should do this or you should do that. I don't really feel right. Over here you got the peace. Let the peace of God be the umpire saying, safe, we're out. And then follow that. We don't always agree with the referee's opinion, do we? But it is the referee's opinion. And I was just chuckling because Odie is doing umpiring now, baseball games, junior varsity. And, you know, sometimes they don't like the call, but it is the call. So it is with the peace of God. Let it make the calls for your life. Okay, there's a few others here. Disbelief, all right? Disbelief keeps us from enjoying the promises of God. Now, I'm not talking unbelief. Unbelief is something else. Disbelief is like failing to believe what God said. And I think we've all have had that experience. We read some promise in God and say, well, wow, I don't know. I don't know if I can accept that. We ought to accept it because God said it. I don't have to analyze it. I don't even have to understand it.